Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what does the Yiddish word grieven mean?
Well, Pesach, Passover, is coming up this week, and since it's my favorite holiday, I thought I'd give you a present. The story I'm going to read is by Sam Lipson. He's not one of the most well-known Yiddish writers, so I thought I'd tell you a little bit about him first. Lipson was born in a small village called Lipsk in Poland in 1894. By the time he was 10 years old, he was already working as a tailor. He arrived in the United States at the age of 15 and became involved in the United Garment Workers of America as a shop worker. He became active in the Jewish workers' movement and was critical of the union leadership, which was corrupt at the time. He was ousted from the union and then started to write full-time instead of only occasionally, which is what he had done before. He wrote 21 books in Yiddish and also a book in English called In Spite of Tears. He wrote about the shop and strikes, and also humorous anecdotes, aphorisms, poetry, jokes, and was always right on the mark, as it were, with his satire and sometimes subtle attacks on the worker-boss situation. He was considered a real workers' writer and was much beloved by the reading public. The story I'm going to read for you is from Lipson's book, Mit a Freilich Ponem, With a Happy Face, and is called Grieven und Schmalz. I chose it because it's a good example of two themes that we often see in Yiddish literature: the abject poverty that most Eastern European Jews suffered, and the intelligent rabbi who understood this and was able to resolve problems with sensitivity and wisdom. I should explain that the title means cracklings and rendered animal fat, which sounds really disgusting if you've never tried it, but it's a real delicacy in Ashkenazi cooking, especially in Eastern Europe at a time when poor Jews had very little to eat. And it's a comfort food for the rest of us. Anyway, if you feel daring and would like to try some, here's how to make it. Though, in all good conscience, I must warn you that it will set alarm bells off on the cholesterol meter. Take raw chicken fat and cut it into small pieces and melt it in a frying pan over a low fire. The little pieces that become brown and crispy are the grievenes, and the fat is the schmaltz. Strain off the grievenes, which you can salt and eat as is. Some people call it Jewish popcorn. Or put it back into the schmaltz later. Then you can sauté a little finely chopped onion in the schmaltz. Add salt to it and put it in a bowl in the fridge with or without the grievenes. After it solidifies, you can spread it on rye bread or matzah, and believe me, it's really delicious. So here's our story, Sam Lipson's Grieven und Schmalz. And I'd like to thank my mother, Rose Jimenez, for translating it so that I can share it with you. I myself, my father, mother, and the entire family often went to sleep hungry. But the cow and the three geese were always taken care of and fed. Actually, they were stuffed with food. During the summer, we took care of the cow and the geese in the field, and in the winter, in the stall that was attached to our house. We cared for the cow because the milk paid off the debts that we owed the rich man of the town, Berchik, the storekeeper. For us, we had only a little sour milk and occasionally some cheese. It was the same with the geese, which were owned by the rich man. The reward we received for taking care of them, raising them, and stuffing them with food, That was our hope and our prospect for when Hanukkah time came. At Hanukkah time, we slaughtered the geese. Mama used to pluck their feathers and do everything right. She would separate the fat and fry Passover fat in the special pan that Sura, Berchik's wife, had prepared. For her work, Mama received the feathers, the giblets, a little burnt onion from the cracklings, and a tiny jar of rendered goose fat, which was poured off from the large copper pan. This was so that we could have schmaltz for Passover. The day that Mama fried the fat was like a holiday in our house. The fragrance of the grieven so deliciously permeated every corner that there was a warmth and feeling of well-being that even the neighbors felt. And they would come in and rub their hands in the warmth of the atmosphere and at the same time take a peek and a sniff at what was inside the pot. The entire time that the frying took place, Mama was vigilant and made sure that everything would be kosher according to the special dietary laws for Passover. No matter what time it was, no matter how late the hour, all the children, big and small, sat and waited until the whole process was finished. The work was very hard. But Mama, with her golden hands, prepared everything exactly as it should be. A white, clean board lay on the ground. On the board, there stood Berchik's sparkling jar, bound with silver wire. It should, God forbid, not burst. Covering the jar, there was a piece of white linen, as clear and as clean as alabaster, to strain the fat. Papa held the heavy boiling pan, and Mama took care of the maneuvers. She told him when to pour and when to wait. When the work was finished and the cracklings were laid out on the non-kosher tin, Berchik's wife, Surka, took the wooden cooking spoon in her hand, separated the burnt onions and some of the less successful cracklings, and put them on a plate for Mama, muttering begrudgingly at the same time, "You should also know a good year." Then she showed Mama the tiny jar and told her she could fill it with the schmaltz for us for Pesach. When they left the house, Papa with the large keg of schmaltz on his shoulder, Berchik's Surka with the tin of cracklings, and her son, Chaimke, with the pot of meat, all of which was to be carried to Berchik's icebox. Only then did all the children sit down and celebrate a holiday. My mother, like a devoted server, gave each one equal portions, a sliver of blackened, ruined onion topped with a bit of crackling. How we relished this! We licked our fingers, devoured it with our eyes, and we were reluctant to swallow it down. While we, the children, were occupied in celebrating this feast, Mama fussed over her little jar of fat which she had received for Passover. She covered it with a piece of white cloth, wound a thread around it a number of times, tied it with a pretty bow, and placed it in a special corner on the shelf with the Passover dishes. Hanukkah had come and gone, and this was an ordinary Shabbos. My parents had gone to the shul, to the synagogue. My older sisters and brothers had gone out to play on the hill. I, having a little sniffle, sat at home and looked at the oven where the chont, the Sabbath meal, sat, with the poor pudding, the potatoes and beans, and my hunger was rampant. And before I had a chance to ask my appetite, "What should I give you to assuage your hunger?" my appetite whispered, "There is a piece of bread on one shelf, and on the Passover shelf there is a little jar of goose fat." Spread a slice of bread with a little Passover fat. Sprinkle it with a bit of salt, and you will see that it's good and tasty. I quickly carried out this plan, and in order not to make the jar of fat unkosher, I took a clean wood chip, which was lying near the stove, poked out the fat, and spread it on the bread. I would never, ever in my life have forgotten the taste of that piece of bread with schmaltz if the whole thing wasn't spoiled for me that very day. When Mama came home from shul, she noticed immediately that something was wrong on the Passover shelf. At the first sight of it, she wrung her hands and said, "Vey is me, or woe is me. Mice have broken into the Passover schmaltz." When she saw the disarranged cloth that had covered the jar and the clawed fat inside, there was no question in her mind that this was what had happened. In the evening, Mama went to the rabbi with a question regarding ritual purity. The rabbi told her to take a Passover spoon and remove the clawed layer of fat and throw it out. What remained would then be kosher for Pesach. With a heavy heart, Mama took the little jar in her hand, and although she begrudged the waste of the fat, she dug down deep with the spoon in order to cleanse the jar from the mice. And she shook it into the tub that held the feed for the cow. I clenched my teeth, looked in the tub where Mama had shaken the fat off the spoon, and I thought, the cow couldn't possibly know why she will eat a non-kosher supper seasoned with Passover schmaltz. Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed our story and that you'll all have a happy Pesach. And as always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. Pesach is perhaps our most universal holiday, celebrated by religious and secular Jews alike. And since our story today was a Yiddish one about Jews in Eastern Europe, I'll leave you with a traditional Passover song from Morocco, sung in Ladino. It's called La Consagración de Moisés, the Consecration of Moses, and it tells the biblical story of the Exodus from Egypt. It's sung by Alithia Ben Dayan and was recorded in Ashkelon, Israel in 1983. It's from the CD Traditional Sephardic Songs and Ballads from Morocco. See you next week.
Moses salió de Misraim, huyendo del rey Faraón. Se fue derecho a Midian y se encontró con Yitro. Le dio a Zípora su hija, porque era temiente a Dios. Odula Donai Kito, Ukile Olam Hasdo. Alabado sea su nombre, porque siempre bien nos dio en los cielos y en la tierra, su merced nunca faltó. Moisés paseando el ganado que su suegro le entregó. Moisés paseando el ganado al monte de Horeb llegó. Viera ardir una zarza, el zarzal no se quemó. Oyó una voz que decía, Mose, Mose, mi siervo, descálzalo tus zapatos, que en lugar santo estás tú. Mose se cubrió sus ojos, temiendo de ver a Dios. Te irás derecho a Misraim y dirás al rey Paró que te entregué las llaves de mi pueblo el hebreo, y si no te las entregaré, castigarlos quiero yo con 10 plagas que le mande, pa' que sepan quién soy yo. Esto es lo que yo sé, ¿no?